I really appreciate what Dave Dyack has done this morning, and he's trying to, you know, during the week we've been talking about prayer, and today Dave's wanting to really highlight this whole thing around Scripture and the Bible, and actually next weekend it's worship, so the three are traveling nicely together, just some good reminders. So I want to just very briefly do something around the story, as David referred to. The story, and to help me do that, I'm going to do a quiz. Okay, so everyone sit up for a quiz. I want, first of all, the quiz. The first question is your all-time favorite TV series. Yell it out. All-time favorite TV series. Yell it out. Okay. Now, just the kids. Just you guys this time. I just want the kids yelling out. So that's Amy's age and down. No, Amy. all-time favorite TV series for kids. What's that one? Ben 10. I knew that. Okay. Anybody else? All-time favorite? Knight Rider. Okay. All-time favorite? Beg your pardon? SpongeBob. Who's watching SpongeBob these days? Now, okay. There we go. I'm going to now, thank you, Matthew, I'm going to put up, you've got to guess which TV series this is. So the first one, Matthew, tell me. My Three Sons. Okay, yell it out together. Who remembers that one? Yeah, okay. Most of the people over here. Next one. What's that one? Come on, tell me. Gunsmoke. Anyone watch that one? Show of hands. Okay. Next one. Oh, we got Lassie. Okay, I don't think the next one will get a clap. Next one. Thank you, Liz. Whoever watched Dallas? Yeah, okay. Next one? Now, you won't get this one, will you? Oh, hi. Oh, no, that's terrible. I was trying to, you know, okay, MASH. What's the next one? Yeah. Hey, what is it? Do you watch that? Is it still on? No, but you have. Okay, the Waltons. Okay, this one is a no-brainer. Next one? Yeah, okay. Who watched the entire All series other than Joe Poynton? Who watched everyone? Friends, okay. Here we go. Next one. The Sopranos. Yeah, okay, confession time. Who's watched The Sopranos? Okay, next one. What's that one? Homeland. Okay. Now, kids, this is for you. Okay, the younger people, this is for you. What's this one now? You ready for the next one, kids? Okay, what's this one? Yes. Yeah. Victorious. Okay, guys, kids, you ready? What is this one? Yeah, that's it. Okay, we're doing well. Now, here's the question, people. What is the one TV series that has gone longer on TV than any other series in time? Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys, what is the TV series that has gone longer than any other TV series? Who says Coronation Street? Show of hands. Nah. Sesame Street? Nah. What's that? Days of Our Lives? No. Country Calendar? No. Anyone? You guys are not doing well. What is it? Here it is. Next slide. Glenn says he's going to Google that. 30 years. 30 years. Still going. Doctor Who. Now, guys, next slide. Not yet, Matthew. Next slide. This is a confession time. You've got to be honest. Who does watch this now? Slide. What is it? It's Coronation Street. Who watches it, honestly? People, put your hand up. Those that are near, those that have got their hands up, could you turn to pray for them at this point, okay? Okay, here we go. If you just keep it there, Matthew, just keep it there. Guys, I was in Australia about 2 weeks ago, and, you know, whenever you get to a new country, oh, well, I don't know about you, but sometimes you think, oh, I wonder what's on the TV. So I turned up for a particular night to see what was on, and there was a brand new TV series in Australia, brand new. And I was amazed that it was Channel 9 and it was given prime time. Prime time, Channel 9, a new TV series in Australia. And the TV series was called The Bible. The Bible. And it was starting that night on Noah. Now, I couldn't watch it because I had things to get to. I couldn't watch it. But I couldn't wait to see what the reaction was the next day. Not a documentary. A dramatized TV miniseries on the Bible. And I couldn't wait to see what the reaction was. So, following morning, get The Age, the Melbourne paper, turn it up to the TV page to see what they were saying about this new series. And a guy, he said this. He wrote it in the paper. He said, we have a new series called The Bible. He said he watched it last night. And then he went on to say, this must be the 11th squillionth time. That was the language that he used. The 11th time that we've had a series on the Bible. Nothing new, he said. And we all know the ending. But then he went on to say, it was absolutely compelling. I have kept track with this TV series since it started in Australia. It is topping the ratings. It is knocking out shows on other TV channels. I mean, yeah, that's right. When does it come to New Zealand? So, put that slide up. This is just a picture of that TV series that's currently running in Australia called The Bible. Okay. Now, could we have the next slide up, Matthew? Now, here's my question to you guys. Is the Bible, is it basically morsels of law? In other words, you read the Bible, there's a whole lot of lists, and they're all telling us what to do, a whole lot of do lists. It's a law book, rules, do list. Is that what the Bible is essentially? Secondly, is it just full of morsels of blessings and promises? You know, you get a promise for Monday, a blessing for Tuesday, a promise for Thursday, a blessing for Saturday. Do you see what I mean? I mean, is it essentially that? Or is it mirror and ink blots? Could I have the next slide, Matthew? Now, do you know what an ink blot is? An ink blot is an image, and you can see a number of things in the ink blot. How many people can see an old lady? Show of hands. How many people can see the young lady? That's it. Can you see the young lady? Yeah. Now, can we go back? If we go back, Matthew, to the previous slide? Yeah. Some people read the Bible as though, well, it's up to each person. You see what you want to see in it. It's just like an ink blot, a mirror. You just see what basically you want to see. Some people see this. Some people see that. Next one. The Bible is like a big puzzle. You know, you need to be a really brainy person to work out what the Bible is saying. You've got to be top of the class. Some people see the Bible like a cookbook, and there are all sorts of people in the Bible cooking all sorts of stuff. And then we kind of think, well, I want to be like David the cook, and I want to be like Esther the cook, and I want to cook what Daniel cooked, and I want to cook what Matthew cooked, and I want to cook what Mary cooked, and I want to be like Elizabeth. And we basically treat the Bible like a cookbook. Which one of these do you usually use the Bible for? Tell the person next to you. Okay, guys, I think they're all dead hopeless. Who would agree? I think all of them by themselves are dead hopeless, okay? There's got to be another way. So, by the way, did you ever, you probably didn't hear this, but there was a massively brainy type guy in England. He's a professor of philosophy. And actually, he doesn't believe in God at all. And a few years ago, he decided to write his own Bible. And here's a picture, next slide. That's him. And he actually called his Bible, could we have the next slide? The Good Book. And do you know what he filled it with? He filled it with a whole lot of clever sayings, a whole lot of wisdom, a whole lot of timeless truths, a whole lot of kind of statements. And that's the kind of book that he produced. It's called a secular humanist Bible. His name is Graylin. And he put it out in 2010, and he called it The Good Book. And when he was kind of advertising this book, and he said, look, I really want people to read it, he came up with this image of what you and I would need to be like to read his Bible. Next image. Next slide. There. All alone, sitting by yourself, meditating on clever sayings. Who here would like to do that in their spare time? Yeah, hardly anybody. So, I reckon the Bible, as David said, is more like the next slide. Can you read that? The Bible is like the story, and it has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end, it has a climax, it has crises, it has opening scenes, it has tensions. Yes? Can I have a big yes? Yeah. Now, given that that's what the Bible is like, what is the best image? Can we go back to the previous one, Matthew? That doesn't work for me. Okay, it doesn't work for me. I'll show you the one that does work for me. Can we go two forward, Matthew? That one. Do you like that? I think if you read the Bible, there's a lot of cliffhangers. I mean, Adam and Eve, and they eat that apple, and you think, what happens next? That's a cliffhanger. Then Moses, he goes into the promised land, and you think, what happens next? That's a cliffhanger. And then you get all sorts of stories, and you're just kind of left wondering, what happens next? It's full of cliffhangers. And then, of course, the Bible says that we are to live the story. Will you? Will I? That is a cliffhanger. Now, here we go. With the families now, and with the person next to you, by the way, how many here have read the play Romeo and Juliet? Eh? Who wrote it? Shakespeare. How many lines in Romeo and Juliet? 100? A little bit more? Have a guess. A little bit more? No? A little bit less? What did you say? No, keep it going up a bit more. Yes, the boy at the back. But what's that? Yeah, do you know how many lines in the play Romeo and Juliet? 3,093. You said that. 3,093. Now, if you read the play Romeo and Juliet, it has a number of parts. Okay, it has a number of parts. It has actually five parts. Five main parts in the play Romeo and Juliet. Part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5. How many parts do you think the Bible has? How many parts? You haven't read it yet. How many parts? Tell the person, work it out with the person next to you. How many main parts? Go to it. Okay, let's go for it, guys. How many people think that there's one part? Can you have one part? I don't think so. A part is a part of a whole. Frank, you should have known that. You're a lecturer. Okay. How many would say two parts? How many on two parts? I mean, some would say that there is the First Testament, and then there's the Second Testament, the Old and the New. I think there's a little bit more. Who would say that there's three parts? Jana at the back. She reckons there's three. Anyone else on three? Okay, who would say that there are four parts? Four parts. Julie got four. Who would say there's five parts? Come on, you guys, most of you haven't put your hands up. Five parts. No. Six. Seven. Oh, my goodness. Eight. Okay, do you know what most Christians would say? Could I have the next slide? They would say that there's three. They would say that, this is what most Christians I would think. They would say there's three. They would say, God created everything good. Then the fall happened, all got stuffed up. And then Jesus came back to save us and help us go to heaven. And we all said, amen. And they say that there's three main parts. I think there are two parts missing. I think there's two parts missing. What do you think the two parts that are missing are? Tell the person next to you. You got it worked out? Okay, guys, here we go. I think there are two parts that are missing. I think, see, what a lot of Christians do, they like creation, Genesis 1 through 3. They don't like the fall, Genesis 3. And then they go, oh, what's the answer? So they go from Genesis 3 to John 3, John 3:16, or they go from Genesis 3 to Romans 3. And they miss out a big, huge section, and that is 1,033 pages. I love it. When the kids are here, I get response. I want the adults to learn this morning. 1,033 pages are missing. okay. And then, but I think there's still another part. Could we have the next slide? How many have watched that one? Okay. By the way, come on, fashion. How many here are Downton Abbey fans? How many series has there been? Three. Did you know that the fourth season is going to hit New Zealand probably next year and there's a Kiwi in it? Did you know this? Now you know my job, to tell you that which you do not know. Do you know the Kiwi that's going to be in the fourth series of Downton Abbey? Yes, Kerry Te Kanawa. For those who are illiterate and uneducated here, she is a singer. She's an opera singer. Okay, so do you know when it comes to watching TV series, are you the kind of person and you think, you get to the first part and you think, I can't wait to see what happens at the end. So you miss out the middle part and you go straight to the next one, the next series. Who's like that with a novel? I once met someone on a train and I said, oh, what's the book that you're reading? And she said, you know, X, Y, Z. And I said, when did you start reading? And she said, now. And I said, but you're reading at the back. And she said, I just can't wait to see what happens at the end. Oh, an Australian. I reckon when it comes to the Bible, people, there are five parts. And the problem with a lot of Christians is they like creation, don't like the fall, miss out 1,033 pages, they go to John 3 or Romans 3, and then they miss out the next part, which is 400 pages. And David has been telling us this morning, why am I calling this guy David this morning? His name is Dave. But Dave has been telling us this morning that we have got to read the whole story. So, could we just have that off now, Matthew? Just off? I'm going to finish. This is my watch. I don't have a wristwatch. I have always had this. And I am now going to tell you the whole story in 2 minutes. Kids, do you reckon I can do that? The whole Bible story in 2 minutes. Okay? Don't start the clock yet. Okay, I just got to get ready. Hold on, I'm not. I want you to give me a 3, just the kids. A 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, start. Kids, go for it. Give me a 5 first. Go. Oh, that was hopeless. I want you to do it together. How about all of us together? Here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We begin with God. 3 in 1, 1 in 3. And this God created everything that is, the planets and the people. And then these people, they decided to split from God, and then they ended up hiding from God. And there was mayhem and madness. And then God thinks, I will bring the whole human project to an end in a flood. But because he loves people, he decides not to. And Noah continues the human project. But Noah, right at the end, he kind of stuffs things up in a drunken, stupor-like state. And then God chooses Abraham. And Abraham ends up telling lies and fibby-wibbies about his wife. And then God chooses, who does he choose next? He chooses Moses, and Moses, he ends up committing murder. And then the people of Israel, they get into the promised land, and while there, they can't shake off their idolatries. And then they become a nation in the promised land, and David becomes king. But David, he can't control himself. And then his son Solomon becomes king, and he builds the temple, but Solomon can't control himself either. And then the whole thing unravels, it gets all unstuck, and it goes messy, and the Israelites, they go into exile, but there's a remnant that stays behind in Judah, and during this time of exile, God says to them that he's going to return, and he's going to return to be their king and ruler, and they're going to see him, and all their enemies are going to be defeated. And then this God does come back, and he comes back in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, that is his enthronement, and he becomes king. He becomes Messiah. And as the Messiah, he is also the Lord and Savior of the whole world. And then this Jesus, he wants to continue the human project. So he selects 12 individual people, and these 12, they echo the 12 tribes of Israel, because Jesus is creating, continuing the people of God, and this time it is the fellowship of the king. And this king, he sends out his disciples, you and me, to the least, the lonely, and the lost, to the world, and says to us, go out and announce to the world that Israel's Messiah has returned, and this Messiah is now the Lord and Savior of the whole world. All authority and power has now been given to this one in heaven and on earth. And then come the end of time, this God will complete the story and renew all things. And on that day, there will be a party, and you are invited. How long was that? Could you repeat after me? Repeat after me. All scripture is breathed by God. And it is useful for teaching, for rebuke, for improvement, for training in righteousness, so that people who belong to God may be complete, fitted out, and ready for every good work. All of Scripture. The whole story. Amen. Thanks, Dave.
Man, what a cool service, hey? Hey, why don't you stand to your feet, and we're just going to finish with one last song. This is Our God. voices, church. Come on.